Well, Raven, now I think I've heard just about everything.
Okay, what do you got?
It's Anna and Raven. If you missed it, there was a puzzle shortage a few months ago. People were buying all the puzzles, and all these puzzle manufacturers were saying that, oh my gosh, everybody's buying our puzzles. You can't find puzzles everywhere.
Right.
Puzzles and toilet paper.
Pandemic. These are the big problems that we were having there.
Yeah, well, a new career has emerged from this.
Okay.
Right?
My name is Paul Kopp, and I am a jigsaw therapist.
Jigsaw therapist.
Wait a minute. What?
Yep. Now science is saying that doing jigsaw puzzles in general, can help your mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the complete opposite. But we'll get to that in a second. When explaining how he puts a puzzle together, this jigsaw therapist.
Oh, he's supposed to be the smart one? He's supposed to know how we're supposed to all do it?
He's the therapist. He's the jigsaw therapist.
Whatever.
I get all my pieces in one place, and then I spread them out. And then the first thing I do is I look for the edge pieces here. You're good. You start from the outside, and you move your way in. Even though it seems counterintuitive, it kind of works with therapy. You act as if. Act as if everything's okay, and then you figure it out later.
Wait, this guy's a doctor? Because he started with the edges that have a hard line side. I mean, every person ever figured that out on their own.
I mean,
where did this guy go? To Jigsaw College?
Okay. Jigsaw College,
I'm sure they're accepting people.
I have one friend that does so many puzzles and she always posts pictures of them.
Yeah.
The last one she posted was just a big purple square. And I could not understand if it was a hidden meaning.
You kept looking to see if something would emerge from it.
It was like, is it one of those mind games where if I stare at it, something will
long
pop
enough,
out?
Long enough, something like a sailboat. I don't see the sailboat. Right.
I was like, I don't understand the pleasure in this. It takes the average person between 3 and 10 hours to do a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. And when I see those jigsaw puzzles, it just gives me anxiety because I'm like, what if you do all of that and then you lost a piece?
Oh, yeah.
You know? What if you put all that effort in and then it fell off the table and you have to start over? They give me more anxiety than any mental health benefits.
Yeah, I used to play jigsaw puzzles, used to build those all the time with my grandma, you know, and also checkers on a blanket in the backyard.
Well, that's a little bit different. Checkers, there's a beginning, there's an end, there's a game. Jigsaw puzzles, you could be doing that for 6 months and never have any completion.
I mean, 6 months?
That's
you
how long
it would take
me. You are
terrible at jigsaws. Huh? You should maybe sign up for an online college course. Jigsaw puzzle place R us.
Well, maybe if I would have listened to this guy and started with the edges and created that.
What a pretentious jerk.
Right?
I start with the sides first. Oh, thanks, doctor.
First, I spread out all the pieces. Now I'm going to keep them in a big pile. Right? A huge pile. It's ridiculous.
What was the last white lie that you told? 1-800-330-9999. Ladies, in your last performance review at work, was it great? Was it so glowing? You walked out of there feeling good about yourself? It might have been filled with white lies.
Oh, okay. How do you do that?
Cornell University found that women are told more white lies than men, especially when it comes to job performance.
Ah, wow. That's weird. I mean, I would figure in a relationship, when you're married, that's because you're afraid of your wife.
Right. That's actually true, too.
I mean, how it works in my house.
Yep.
Right? You're
Dan
afraid of your wife.
Yep. Actually, yes, all of that is true. What the study found was that underperforming women are given less truthful but kinder performance feedback compared to equally underperforming men.
Oh, okay. Well, when you're not very good at your job when you're a guy, they just tell you you're a dope.
Well, it's funny. And then look what I pulled up, my performance review.
Good.
I was looking at it. I'm like, this makes me look like I'm the president of the United States of America.
Right. But
what if it's filled with
lies? But why did you get a 4 and not a 5?
Well.
Anna always wants to ace the performance exam. Always.
Wait, how about when I argued with them that I deserved a 4 instead of a 5 on one? They're like, Anna, you want to reduce your score? I go, I just don't think I did enough social content.
You have to work harder. You have to work harder.
But actually, in general, women are told more white lies than men. And I believe this. And like you said, there's so many times at my house, I'll make a dinner that I know is disgusting.
It's not great.
No. And I'll be like, what do you think? And he'd be like, it's good, babe.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, should I make it again?
Every time.
I don't know if you want.
Right.
Right.
Right. And you look beautiful.
Oh, my God.
These jeans make me look so fat. No, they do not.
No.
I'll burn those jeans right now if you want me to.
You look like the same day I met you.
Why are those jeans angry with us?
When you were 19 years old.
Stupid jeans. We'll fix that. Yeah.
But what do you think about white lies?
I think that we do all that we can to get along every day. And I'm not just talking about with, people that you know and you care about and you have, strong relationships with, just with people that you don't know too, right? I mean, that's part of getting along.
I never tell lies, period, except to my children.
Oh. Well, that's different. Are you talking about your creative parenting,
yes,
as you call it?
Yeah, I don't like to call it white lies. I call it creative parenting.
Because they're larger than white lies. They're big lies.
No.
They're huge lies.
No.
Yes. You have told your children, Hayden specifically, many lies.
Well.
Like that, you know, your stranger rules and all that stuff.
They're meant to protect her,
right,
not to harm her.
But they're still not truthful. That's all I'm saying. They're still lies.
Hayden, for a very long time, she doesn't believe it anymore, but she believed that she did not eat broccoli every single day, that her tummy would explode because she could not poop.
Right.
Now, I told her this because she wouldn't eat vegetables. What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do?
Lie right to their face,
you just
obviously.
Say,
that's what
your
she...
tummy gets hard, and then it grows and grows, and if you don't eat the broccoli, where's the poopy going to go? It's going to explode out of your belly button.
You're just going to explode here upstairs in your bedroom, right?
Well, it's
and mom doesn't want to clean that, so you got to do it.
Creative parenting.
Yeah.
1-800-330-9999.
Liar.
What was the last white lie that you told? Are some white lies better than others? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What was the last white lie that you told? Would you want to be told white lies at work? A new study from Cornell University found out that women tend to be lied to more at work than men, but basically to help them feel better, telling them they're doing better at their job than they actually are. I'm not down with that.
Well, listen, in my house, I mean, I tell all sorts of little white lies, you know, but I think that when it gets larger, it's no longer what they, you know, what they call an innocent lie. All right. Then it's a conspiracy. Then it's a cover up.
Right. But there's certain things. And again, I'm not a liar, but I think like maybe in a slight exaggeration to your children.
An embellishment.
So you can get them to do something. That's
not
one thing.
That's not what you do. You outright lie to your kids. But what about like regular people you talk to?
Well, regular people, I really don't. I don't believe it. I'm so blunt. And you know how I am, Raven. Mm-hmm. Like I'm kind of black and white. I don't lie. But we asked on our Facebook page, what was the last white lie that you told?
Sure.
Lucila wrote, I have a doctor's appointment. And she says that so she can get to her kids' sporting events.
Oh, okay.
To get out of work.
I mean, it's a public event. People will see you.
Right.
Sooner or later, there will be a witness to your lie.
Maybe not.
Oh, I got through quick. Really quick. We all know that's a lie.
Lori wrote, no, babe, I'm not mad at you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cheryl wrote, I guess it's my favorite one because I think we all do this. When people ask you how you doing, I'm fine.
Oh, I'm great.
I'm fine.
Good.
Yep. Yeah, even I got a text last night from a friend I haven't talked to in a long time. She's like, how's everything going? I'm like, great.
Yeah, it's awesome. Right.
Never been better.
Little does she know.
Right. 1-800-330-9999. What's the last white lie that you told?
I tell both my daughters that if they try to smoke, they will immediately throw up. They're 7 and both have an unnatural fear of vomit.
Perfect.
I don't see
anything wrong with that.
Right.
And you know what? It might be true. Some people can throw up when they smoke, so who knows?
Yes.
Right.
Oh, thank you. I'm not even lying.
Yeah. I think it's okay if parents lie only to protect their children, and I think that works.
Well, I mean, you've told some really, really juicy, huge lies, some of which would land people possibly being incarcerated.
No.
Yes, total strangers.
No.
Total. When you pointed out a stranger to your daughter and said, that man will take you.
If she keeps walking away from mommy.
It was a regular gentleman. It was regular nice guy in the area.
She had to know not to wander off.
Yeah, but you just accused him of a felony.
Well, a possible felony. It's different.
I'm feeling better about my lie.
Yeah,
right.
All right, thank you for the call. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's that white lie that you told?
I told my boss that I live in a very secluded area, so my Wi-Fi is so spotty, there are a lot of times I may not get internet access or be able to log into meetings. Mm. I live in a totally normal populated area with a perfectly good Wi-Fi connection.
Yeah, I feel like the Wi-Fi obstacle has really been overcome everywhere, but most people still somehow not aware of that.
Do you think we could get away with that?
No, because we already tried it and they had us go through it. We should have just said, nope, it doesn't work
from
moment one.
Yeah, I know. That's so funny. So when you actually do respond to your emails and log on, what does he think? You just got lucky at that moment?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure, but I just always hit him with that, like, oh, sorry, I was delayed.
Yeah. Tell him you're at the library. That's right. What you should tell him.
The library's even open yet? I don't even think they're open yet.
But that's it. He won't have internet until at least July.
I'll go sit outside of Starbucks.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 That's all I need to know about you. You see people do things. They say things. You've never met them before. You don't know anything about them. But based solely on that one thing, that is all you need to know about them. 1-800-330-9999. Just got to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Raven, if you are willing to get your Botox in a drive-through garage from this guy, that's all I need to know about you.
Real quick. It's real convenient. It's like, you know, boom, boom, Botox. The areas that we inject Botox are the upper face, exactly the parts of the face that aren't covered by the mask.
This is a plastic surgeon in Florida.
I mean, it's so nice to know that the ShamWow guy is working again.
I mean,
that is fantastic.
Any guy who's this
you're going to say wow when you get your Botox right here in the drive-thru.
You're going to come right in here. And you know what we're going to do? You know what we're going to do, Raven?
You know, boom, boom, Botox.
Beer. Boom, boom, Botox. Boom, boom, Botox.
Have you ever had Cuban coffee? Have you had it?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Half a cup of Cuban coffee will make you sound exactly like that.
Like
so
that's
I don't want to take any leaps or jumps here. He may just really, really like Cuban coffee.
Or just be really, really excited
it
about his boom, boom, Botox.
It jacks you, man.
I mean, what is that? So part of me is like, well, okay.
Right. Part of me is like, well, you know, if I had met him before and felt like he was reputable.
Right, but can you imagine? It's $600.
Okay.
You go to his house.
Yep.
You pull into his garage.
Into his garage?
Yes.
I pictured it like a car wash that had closed and he bought it.
No.
And he turned it into this thing, you know?
Wait,
right?
What if that's the new thing after the pandemic? All these drive-through car washes now become where you go get your Botox and fillers.
I mean, imagine the different services they could offer. I mean, they already do vacuuming. You can buy yourself, you know, like an air freshener there, you know, Armor All wipes, but always in the vending machine and they're overpriced. Imagine if they offered some of these other services.
All right. I don't know. That guy, that's all I need to know about you.
Wow. Mm. If you are considering calling your local weatherman and yelling at them because the weather continues to change, that's all I need to know about you. You know, my wife asked me for Scott Haney's phone number this week.
Mm.
She was like, you know what? Let me call one of these guys. Let me call the local weatherman somewhere around here and talk to them about this because it's a sunny one day and then it's supposed to, oh, now it says it's going to rain. And I explained to her, I said, honey, you realize that it's weather. It's not just the report that dictates what actually happens. The weather changes.
Mm. Right. I think we can't really hold the weather people accountable for the weather.
You want Pagano's number?
They do their...
You want to call these people?
I don't know. I think we got to probably give them a pass right now. If it's
I mean,
it's
the planet. You have to give them a pass every day. It's not an exact science.
Well, right. 1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. The NBA is going to Disney World. What? It's Anna and Raven. So here is somebody that knows a lot more than me talking about what's going on.
22 of the NBA's 30 teams will go to Orlando, Florida to resume the season with games starting in late July. Each team will play 8 regular season games before beginning a full 4-round playoff bracket. The NBA and Players Union are still negotiating details of the safety protocols for the Orlando bubble.
Yeah, so they're saying that they could be down there for 2 months. They'll be able to take their families with them. They're going to have to get Disney employees to help with the hotel rooms, but they won't be able to go into the hotel rooms. 1,500 people they'll need to make this all happen.
I mean, it's kind of weird, right?
Well, but, yeah.
I'm excited. I mean, obviously, I think it's a good partnership for both because, number one, it definitely shows. I mean, you can stay isolated at Disney. But the other thing is like for Disney, it puts it right back in everybody's brain that, hey, we're open.
Yeah.
We're ready here for business. We're going to be on TV every single day showing you that we're safe and in and out of commercials. We'll show you cool stuff about the park. I think it's a win.
I think it's just fun in general. If you're the NBA families that have to go down there and be quarantined with your player and just you're in Disney World. Like, it's a fun place to be.
I don't know. After a few weeks, though.
Oh, no, I'd be down for it. I'd be like, who's up to go to Epcot again today? Around the world. I'm ready for Soarin'.
I hope it works out that way.
I've got a fast pass. All right, so more importantly, if you had to create an all-Disney team NBA starting five lineup.
Well, you've got to consider different things here, obviously. Height is usually a big advantage in basketball. So, you know, the first one on my team, of course, is going to be Goofy. You got to put Goofy on there.
Listen, just because Goofy's tall doesn't mean that he can, like, play D.
I mean, I'm not sure that you understand that there's not a lot of defense in today's NBA. Mm. It's really offense, and you have to score.
Okay.
Buzz Lightyear. Oh. Go with Buzz Lightyear because he's very resourceful. He has a laser and it's questionable whether or not he can fly.
I don't think he can actually be. Well, I guess he could fly and dunk, but what? He's so robotic.
He can glide.
How's he gonna like, you know, move around and duck and go?
There's the defense you were talking about. He's just got to stand there.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Jafar from Aladdin.
Evil.
Magic, though. All right? And we can use a little magic and deception.
Mm.
Magic Johnson. Maybe the best point guard of all time, right?
All right.
Power forward. I don't know what position he plays.
Right, he's made it up.
Tinkerbell.
Oh.
Fly.
Yeah.
She can fly.
She definitely would be the shortest one in the NBA.
She's strong, though. Okay?
Yeah.
And she's elusive. You're not going to see where she is.
It's true.
You're not going to be sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She's going to fly right over past your head. You're not going to know. And then, of course, you got to have Mickey because nobody's going to go see NSYNC in concert without Timberlake. Right? So you got to have Mickey because if you're going to have an NBA game, you've got to, you know, actually have an audience there or whatever. But I'm not sure if he's going to be good. Daffy, by the way, honorable mention, he's going to be the coach.
All right. Well, here we go.
Daffy Duck is just because he's got that disheveled look.
He would be a good coach. You're actually 100%
always
accurate about
yelling
that.
And right. He gets very flustered. So
I think my team will beat your NBA team.
Why is that?
Here is my Disney NBA starting five. First, you start with Tarzan because Tarzan is literally Michael Jordan. Every single sense. Swinging,
it's a good
all that. Like
yeah,
he can dunk. He can just get wherever he's got to go.
It's a good choice. All right.
Mrs. Incredible, otherwise known as Elastigirl. Have you ever seen the way that she can just stretch and go around? You try to get past the last girl.
Feels like cheating.
Why is that cheating?
Feels like cheating.
That's what she does.
A real power would be to fly.
No. Well, how about Simba? Simba is literally the heart of the team. He's got that heartbreaking backstory.
Yeah, but what's he going to do? He's going to make people cry?
Well, yeah.
Oh, he's just going to deliver the speeches at halftime? I mean, you actually need a player.
He is literally like the, oh my God, why is his name escaping me?
Right.
The one that's best friends with Kim Jong-un. What's his name?
Dennis Rodman?
Yeah. Simba is Dennis Rodman, the heart of the team. The one that, like, the eccentric one.
You watched about 10 minutes of this Michael Jordan documentary, and all of a sudden you think you're a sports broadcaster?
The genie from Aladdin? All you got to do is genie from Aladdin is wish to win the playoffs, and
Jafar,
and you won.
Just put him back in the bottle.
And then, obviously,
put him back in the bottle, Jafar.
Moana, you know, is going to be, like, the most important person on the team because she's kind of like the John Starks. She's, like, the shortest one, but she's, like, probably the one that's the smartest.
John Starks.
Yeah. Moana is John Starks.
Terrible.
What do you mean?
It's terrible.
Oh, it's going to be so sad when we beat you in Disney World.
Oh, you.
It's going to be.
I can't wait for tip-off. Let's do this.
I kind of feel like a hypocrite. I don't know.
Because you will be after this conversation.
Well, it's making me evaluate. It's Anna and Raven. Alicia Silverstone recently said in an interview to the New York Times that to help with the stress of the quarantine, she takes baths with her 9-year-old son, Bear. I'm going to let that hang there for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Because Alicia Silverstone and her 9-year-old son take baths together.
Right.
And I saw that. I was
to
like,
to deal with his effects of dealing with the COVID crisis. Now, he's a regular functioning young man, isn't he?
Yeah. And she said it, in the interview, it was very, like, matter of fact. She goes, we take baths together. We jump on the trampoline together. We, you know, we do all kinds of dancing together. So nothing else struck me. But I go, wait a minute. You get in a bathtub naked with your 9-year-old son? And to me, that was odd. But then I thought about it. I go, up until not even a year ago, I would say maybe 7 months ago,
right,
I would take showers with my daughter, who's 11. But the reason behind that is that she has so much hair.
It's her hair.
Yeah, that
right.
Like she can't get in there to clean it as good as she can.
Right.
And what I was finding was she was leaving soap in there. It wouldn't smell great. So I started jumping in the shower with her just so I could really get in there.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I don't know if that's the same, but then I felt hypocritical for thinking that Alicia Silverstone was weird because that's not nice. I don't like the parent shame.
No,
do what you want.
And you shouldn't. And you know what? I mean, whatever their relationship is fine. However, I mean, I've got some questions. I mean, and maybe I just sound like an idiot for saying, but does it matter when it's the opposite sex?
Well, that's what
because
I was thinking.
Because I think past a certain age it does. And then the other thing is like, so she's doing this to calm him, and maybe that's very effective and what. So what happens when he's 33 and loses his job? Does mom come over and bathe with you?
Weird. It's weird.
I mean,
come on, it's
when you're
weird.
15 and you're dumped by your first girlfriend, does mom bathe with you?
Get in the bathtub.
That doesn't make any sense to
me. Do you want
me
to get Mr. Bubbles?
She's always kind of crazy, that one.
She's the one that when Bear, her 9-year-old, was a baby, she would chew the food and then spit it from her mouth into his mouth.
Oh, right. The bird thing.
Yeah, because that's how birds feed their baby birds.
I mean, where does she get this stuff, man?
She's like, you know, she's one of those. She's like hippie-ish. So there's part of it that I like because I do like eccentric parenting.
I think like you have your right to raise your children the any way you can. But I also think that at 9
years...
Yes
and no. Right. Now, you have certain things that you can do, but
I mean,
no, you don't...
She's not harming him. She's not harming him. One day, Bear Blue is going to fall in love. And that girl is going to be like, it's so nice that you bathed your mom.
How would you like to be the wife of Bear who hears these things and then has to deal with these things in your relationship?
Here's what I know.
I think she might be harming him.
No, Alicia Silverstone will be the mother-in-law from hell.
Oh, yeah.
Can you? Right.
Oh, yeah.
So
I mean, you're all bathing together or you're doing nothing together.
You know,
oh, man.
So you're not giving my grandchildren all vegan, gluten-free foods? Like, she's 100%
that
mother-in-law.
You're not pre-chewing the food for the dog? I thought you loved this puppy.
So am I a hypocrite? Because I would never, ever, like, if it was my son, mm-hmm. I wouldn't get into the bathtub with my son. I wouldn't take a shower with my son.
Right.
If my husband, who, you know, says, oh, I'm going to go take a shower with Hayden. I look at him like he had lost his mind.
So are we talking about age or are we talking about gender here? Which one is the defining factor?
Both.
Okay. I'm going to say this is that, you know, again, if to a certain age, I think it's probably okay. But past a certain age, it brings more questions than it does whatever. And then people would say, well, the conversation is healthy, but I don't know.
What do you think? What's the right age to cut off bathing with your children? You can call us 1-800-330-9999 or you can text. Get ready to learn something, Raven. It's learning time.
I love that. Fun and educational, please.
It's Anna and Raven. My toddler, Dakota, is now 18 months old.
Okay.
And we have entered a phase that I never had with my older daughter at all. So I'm very confused by it. She was fighting with my dog, Lila, over a toy. She
they
was
were
laughing.
Arguing?
Yep.
Okay.
And this is what it sounded like. See if you can make out what she's saying.
Well, it's mine.
Mine. Everything. Everything.
Yeah.
Everything is mine.
Well, when they learn mine stands for a lot because it says I want that. It says it needs to be in my possession right now. It says you need to give it over. It paraphrases for many other different phrases.
But I'm so confused by this because all of a sudden out of everywhere, anywhere, like, I don't know. Mine. This is mine.
Well,
mine.
Who taught her the word?
Well, that's what I don't understand. And I've been doing this research online and for the most part, all the scientists and the researchers say the same thing.
What's that?
Is that it's 100% normal, and the reasoning is simple. They found that children at this age believe that the person who possesses an object first mm-hmm. is the rightful owner.
Forever.
Forever.
For all time.
Right.
I still feel that way now at 44. I got to be honest. If it was mine first, it's mine till the end unless I give it to you.
Exactly. And they went on to say this, one of the researchers.
Because they're just learning where I end and you begin. And so they understand, oh, there's a you. That means that you could have ownership and this is mine and I don't want you to have it. So everything is mine. They want it all for themselves.
I mean, she might be a doctor. But that didn't actually lay it out all that clearly.
Or make sense to me.
Yeah.
And so basically, toddlers are greedy little animals.
Yeah.
Right. Well, little princesses and princes.
So different
nice.
Than grown people, I guess.
Right. But their argument is, I had it first. Now, I still don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I understand that you see something, you want it.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
But never in my life has me, my husband,
mm-hmm.
my 11-year-old daughter, Hayden.
Right.
Ripped something from her hands and said, mine.
Mm-hmm.
Or had anything and be like, mine,
yeah.
mine. So where does she come up with that word? She only says
got
about
a couple different
words.
Alternatives here, all right?
Okay,
all right?
Uh-huh.
Your mother, secretly. Your mother just put, that's mine!
You think Nonna's doing that?
Doesn't seem likely,
if
but
anybody
could
is
happened,
not is giving her everything she
I'm
wants.
I'm just saying.
Anna, how was I only going to give her one Milano cookie?
I'm just saying.
She says she wanted another one.
Second alternative. The dog actually speaks English
okay.
and only does it when you guys aren't around.
Yes.
And then the dog is, because she's been in her dog food. She's been in her toys.
Right.
She's been all in her space. And while they are compatriots, while they are homies,
yeah.
you know, sooner or later, sometimes you just have to tell somebody.
Maybe the dog.
Even my dogs bicker, man. And yeah. I'm sure they're talking to each other. And it's probably not good for radio airplay.
What if toddlers speak dog? Did we ever even think of that? Maybe Lila did teach her the word mine.
Right. Anything is possible.
I guess.
Right? But, you know, hands off because it's mine.
Mine. In such turbulent times, can you imagine that your whole entire job is to be a motivational speaker and to bring positivity into people's lives? Because that's exactly what Sally Wolf does.
Oh, Sally, this has got to be the best of times or the worst of times. I'm not sure.
It's Anna and Raven. Sally, thank you for taking the time this morning. We appreciate it. I think in times like this, you're trying to find the light, but it's really hard when there's so much dark.
I totally understand that. And I would actually say that from my perspective and just my own experience, I think there's always both in our lives. And there are times where we're so lucky because light is dominant and the dark is so minuscule, maybe we don't see it. And perhaps right now, for many, if not most of us, dark feels so much bigger. And there are days where it feels overwhelming. And yet, I believe when we look for the light in even those days and those moments, we can always find it.
My toddler is 18 months, and the joy that she gives me, it like overcomes me. It really brings me happiness. And I think that there's something I didn't have time before to really notice those little things that she does like I do now. But I think in general, people are looking for tactical things they can do
right. To
bring more positivity into their life.
It's like they've been trained so they can snap right back to this when they find themselves in a stressful situation. So do you have any tips for that?
Absolutely. One thing is to gratitude journal. It doesn't have to be a fancy journal. You could do it on a piece of paper, do it on a notes section on your phone. But what it really means is you are going through your day and taking stock of things, meaning moments, people, interactions that you feel grateful for. Sometimes people like to do it at night before they go to sleep, take stock of the day. Other people like to do it when they wake up. Could be that interaction with your toddler that made you laugh. It could be that you go for a walk and you notice that all these flowers that weren't out last week were out now. It doesn't have to be big things. You're priming yourself. You're actually training your brain to feel more grateful.
Last night, I don't want to say I forced my 11-year-old, but I did. I forced her to take a Zoom meditation class with me, which she had no interest in doing. But halfway through, I noticed that she was really in tune with it.
Right.
And I was like, it was a small mom win. That's something I would write in my gratitude journal, that
yeah,
I found something
new
that me and Hayden could share together. So I could understand that. What else can we do, Sally?
I'm going to build on that example because my 4.5-year-old niece is my number one meditation partner these days. She calls it oming. We often will start the day meditating together. Meditation is another great tactical thing. We often have this vision of meditating as yoga pants and fancy cushions and candles and all of that, which if you can do that, great. I believe meditation is as simple as a single deep inhale and single deep exhale. And if you can expand it to 2 or 3 and get to 1 minute or 5 minutes, that counts as meditation too.
Breathing exercises really do work. Like, I can feel that. But people frown when I close my eyes when I'm driving. At least my wife does, Anna.
When your favorite song comes on, sing out loud. Let yourself dance a little with your hands on the wheel, whatever you can do, and safely drive. And if you're at home and that happens, I am a big fan of full-out dance parties, meaning dance like a child would, dance like your kid is listening to Baby Shark, but it's your song. Because a lot of us are so easily distracted, right? We're getting all these notifications on our phones. But when we're getting all these notifications, what happens is our brains are wired to take in those things. This is going on with the pandemic, or this is going on with a riot. And we absorb those as if they are really in our immediate field of vision, so to speak. And so the same is true for positive things. When we actually can effectively feel like we are at a concert or we are at a dance party with our friends, our bodies, they just glow in a way that happens when you are feeling and surrounded by positive emotions.
I love it. So we got a gratitude journal with very specific things.
Right.
Finding some time for meditation, even if it's just a minute of deep breathing, and shaking it off. Finding some time to dance and move our bodies or like a child.
Sing along. It goes right hand in hand with when they tell you to just go find a room and scream.
Right. It gives you a little bit more.
Right.
If you want to learn more about Sally, you can visit her online at sallywolf.com. Sally, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2 o'clock.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 months.
It's time for Raven's report card.
Checking in with Raven's wife, Alicia, to see how he's been behaving as a husband this past week.
Hello.
Good morning, sunshine. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What's new and exciting? Has Raven been behaving himself?
I'm trying to think. I think so.
I mean, I think I've been doing pretty good this week. We went on a Costco field trip. We've done stuff in the yard together. I've been supportive in times of doubt. I came out of the house when I thought she fell off a ladder the other day.
I mean, I would hope that if you
saw you, you thought your wife fell off a ladder, you would leave the house and go check on her.
Right.
It took a few minutes. So I hit my head on the air conditioner.
Oh my gosh.
Trimming the hedges and hit my head so hard that the dog started barking in the house.
Yeah, I thought she went through the house. She was up. So I thought she had a ladder and fell off the ladder into the side of the house.
What?
Oh yeah. My God. It was awful. It was awful. Yesterday, I'm like checking to see if I have a bump. And he's like, yeah. He's like, I really thought that you were like on the ladder and fell off. I'm like, well, I'm really glad that you came running out so quickly because it took you a couple minutes. You thought I fell off a ladder. He's like, well, I was doing something. I'm like, what? What were you doing that was more important than your wife possibly falling off the ladder? He's like, well, my hands were wet. I was at the sink.
Yeah, I was doing dishes. I think it took like 15 seconds.
You can't run with wet hands when you think your wife fell off a ladder. Okay.
No. You know what? I mean, then what if I went to pick you up and you slipped out of my hands and I hurt you more?
You know, he's got
to
disinfect his hands for 20 seconds. Otherwise, he can't touch you.
Right. And then there's only a limited amount of paper towels out there in the world. I would have had to clean up all the spots on the floor.
I don't think I'm understanding this.
It's a lot to think about.
You think that your wife fell off a ladder, but you stayed and finished washing your hands before you went to go check outside?
No. I was rinsing. I was in the middle of rinsing a dish. And you know how, like, when you've washed the dish, you can't put the dish back down in the sink again. Then it's going to get dirty. I didn't expect to go this much in depth with it. I'm just saying is that, you know, I mean, I got out there. She's alive, and that's lucky, and I'm very thankful that she was not only trimming the tree, but she is alive and didn't come through the wall of the house.
This is what I live with. What if I did fall off the ladder?
Right.
Well, the side of the house really shook. So if you really fell from a higher distance, you probably would have landed right there on the sofa.
What if that 15 seconds was life or death while you washed a dish that couldn't go back into the sink?
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
I would have to live with that.
Right.
Of course, I would be the only one.
It's so ridiculous. Speaking of
this
bodily
harm.
This
is why the dogs don't help you when you fall. They just bark at you. Well, they're like, you don't even care when mom falls.
This week, we talked about this because there was a new study that said 2 out of 3 dogs will not save their owner if they're in distress. We had Raven fake a heart attack so to see if the dogs would respond, which they didn't try to save him. Not shocking. But I said, like, they probably thought he was faking, which he was. I want him to actually get hit by your car. So I was thinking, don't go full speed, but I want you to just to gently bump him with the car and then have him theatrically throw himself on the ground to see if the dogs would come out.
That theatrically? Would be, right. I mean, do you think I'm a Cirque du Soleil performer or something like that? When I move, when I look like I'm broken, it's because I'm actually indeed broken.
I just think that would be a more accurate science experiment to see if the dogs would save him versus him just rolling around the ground yelling he's having a heart attack.
Don't tempt me, Anna.
Right. Just wait 15 seconds and then just ram him from behind.
Right. Thank you.
Maybe sneak I should attack. Run the car into the ladder while he's on the side of the house.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice.
But make sure you put that dish back on the side of the sink. All right. What kind of grade would you like to give Raven this week? Last week he got an A. It was the first A, and I don't even know how long. What kind of grade is he going to get?
Oh, well, that's not happening. You know, he left me to die after I fell off the ladder.
Only for 15 seconds.
He's getting a B, you know. He just can't ever keep that A streak. He can't keep the A streak.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple joins us. They let us know what their issue is, and then you judge who's right. Roberta and Doug. Roberta, let's start with you. What's going on?
My husband, every morning, he showers, and he takes very long showers, and he always locks the bolts. So I can't come in. I can't use the bathroom. We do have 2 kids, so he likes to keep them out. But, I mean, it totally delays our day for work.
That's tough. I tell you one thing I don't like to give up, Anna, the humid, dense air in the shower. When somebody comes in, when it's like wintertime or if the rest of the house is central air, and it's just all of a sudden you're freezing in the shower, all right? When it's early, that's tough.
How many bathrooms do you have in your home?
We have one.
Oh, that would explain why there's a problem.
That's tough, right? I mean, in the 1940s, you could not shower before somebody had to go to work.
Well, Doug, why do you do this? You're basically making your family hold it in while you take a shower.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I explained that this is just my policy. This is my private time to just get my head together for my day. Right. You know, I have my crazy family's running around all the time.
Did you explain that to their intestines? I mean, that just seems, I mean, that's tough, man. What is it? Buckets for everybody else? Come on.
You know, I just try to keep it pretty mindful, and when I'm done, I'm done. They can get in there as soon as I'm finished.
Do you give them a warning? Like, Daddy's going into the shower in 10 minutes. Get everything out now?
It It depends on if I've got the time. Listen, I'm out there working like crazy every day. This is my private time. You know, I just need to get my head together. You know, they've got it all day when I'm not there. So,
Roberta, how typically long is the showers?
At least 20, 25 minutes.
That's a long shower to hold it. Don't you think 20 minutes?
I guess it depends on your point of view, right? If you're the person holding it, then it's forever. If you're the person in the shower, I'm doubting whether or not you even scrubbed yourself down.
What? I don't think I take more than 8 minutes in a shower.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I definitely know you are not getting clean then.
What we do is ask our audience what they think, and they may agree with you, Roberta. It's obnoxious that you lock the door, and Doug, you got to stop doing that. Unlock the door. Let your kids go to the bathroom when you're in there. But they may see your side, too. Once you leave, you're gone for the day at work. It's your 20 minutes of alone time. They can figure it out during that time. How old are your kids, though?
The little girl, who's 4, and my son is 8.
I mean, 4 is hard. When they got to go potty, they got to go potty.
Toughen up, kid. Doug, do you agree?
Yes.
And Roberta, you're in?
Yes, I am.
Great. Call or text. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Doug and Roberta only have one full bath in their home, and Roberta's upset that her husband always locks the door when he takes a shower for 20 minutes because she says they got an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old. You can't just lock them out of the bathroom. What if they got to go potty?
Anna, this is supposed to be Doug's happy place.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Good morning. I am the husband's side because I'm one of those that take 20-minute shower and I don't want to be bothered.
I mean, a 20-minute shower? I take like 40 minutes.
I don't know. Raven and I are having this argument off the air here. I just think it's obnoxious that that shower is too long. Like, what are you doing in there? Take your shower and get out.
I'm washing my hair. I'm lathering. I got a loofah in there. Yeah, I'm taking care of all this business.
Woo, it is good business. Agree with the husband. But I think what they should do is, you know, try to buy a house with 2 bedrooms.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you for the call. Have a great morning.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm definitely on the woman's side. This guy is arrogant. He's ignorant. I can't think of enough words. She should actually consider dumping him. It's that bad.
Oh, my God.
This guy does not
care. I can't believe how fired up you are. Hey, Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I am on the wife's side. Her husband is a narcissist.
Because he likes to be clean.
Yeah, really. You got 2 kids and another woman in the house. You want your time, then get up a half an hour earlier and relax in the bathroom. Just go in and get out.
I just can't get over how it's always women and children first. Women and children first. Yeah. Women and children first. He's trying to go to the bathroom and take a shower before he goes to work.
But there's the only bathroom in the house and he's locking the door. That's the problem.
20 minutes!
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Roberta, our audience agreed with you. Doug, it's your family. It's not strangers that are coming in. Just let them know that you really like your privacy and only if it's an emergency to come in. But locking the door and locking them out seems pretty obnoxious, and people agreed.
I can't really argue with it. All right, fine. I'll give it a shot.
Just hold on to your resentment until they're older and they come to you for a big favor and just be like, nope, and this is why.
That he needs to shower by himself.
Roberta, you got to be happy with that.
Yeah, I am. I think they really had some great points. I mean, we're his family. We'll make sure only to come in if it's an emergency.
I'm so certain of that.
You got a problem too, send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, it's Howard. How are you?
Great, Howard. We got $500 on the line today. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, could you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, man.
Howard, here's how it's going to work. Hey. Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, he's not going to be able to hear you. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. Answer them as quickly as you can. I bring them back in. I ask them the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You beat him, I give you $500. He beats you, I throw another $100 in the pot. You ready to go?
I'm ready.
Number 1, last call for Mad Men on Netflix. The series will be leaving the streaming service on June 9th. What actor plays Don Draper?
John Hamm.
Number 2, today is National Donut Day. According to Dunkin' Donuts, what does America run on?
Dunkin'.
Number 3, Fuller House is back on Netflix for their final season. The twins that played Michelle Tanner never returned for the reboot. Who are the actresses that played Michelle?
Don't know.
Number 4, the Tesla Model 3 has become the best-selling car in California, making it the first electric car to top the list. Who is the CEO of Tesla?
Don't know that either, sorry.
That's all right, Howard. Just try the best you can. Number 5, Forbes has named Kanye West the highest-earning musician of 2020, making $590 million. The second highest paid celebrity of the year is a relative of his. Who is it?
Kardashian.
Which one?
Kim.
Let me bring Raven back in. Raven!
Yo!
2 out of 5 for Howard.
Not too good for a Friday. Let's see how I do.
Number one, last call for Mad Men on Netflix. The series will be leaving the streaming service on June 9th. What actor played Don Draper?
John Hamm, of course.
Yes, and he looks shockingly like my husband.
I know. You like to say that every single time. He's a good actor, man. I like him in movies. I never really watch the show.
And incredibly handsome, if I may add.
All right, all right.
Today's National Donut Day, number two. According to Dunkin' Donuts, what does America run on?
America runs on Dunkin'.
That's right. You guys are tied. Number three, Fuller House is back on Netflix for their final season. Mm. The twins that played Michelle Tanner never returned for the reboot. Who are the actresses that played Michelle?
Mary-Kate and Ashley.
That's right. Mary-Kate and Ashley
Olsen. And
they're Olsen.
Freaky deaky. They're crazy.
Yeah, but they're doing their thing. Got to leave them alone.
Yeah,
them
they're
do
doing
their
thing, which is freaky deaky and crazy.
Okay. Number four, the Tesla Model 3 has become the best-selling car in California, making it the first electric car to top the list.
Sweet.
Who is the CEO of Tesla?
My homie, Elon Musk. Come on.
And number five, he's not your homie. You don't actually know him.
You know what? If we met, we'd probably get along.
Number five, Forbes has named Kanye West the highest-earning musician of 2020, making $590 million. The second highest-paid celebrity of the year is a relative of his. Who is it?
It was Kylie, wasn't it?
Kylie is correct. I didn't think you'd know that one.
Yeah. She's the big money one. I thought she beat him, frankly.
Well, I'm sorry, Howard. Raven beat you, let's see, 5-2 this morning.
Pretty good.
It's Howard, and I can't beat Raven.
Well, thank you, Howard. Hold on the line. We're going to get you your own Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Better luck next time.
We're going to throw another $100 in the pot Monday morning. $600 if you can beat them. Make sure you're listening to the cheat sheet today at 12 o'clock and 5:30. I'll give you the first two answers to Monday's 5 pop culture questions.